he had talked for a short time with Mistress de Courcy, Edgar went to the fencing room with Sir Ralph, and they there put on helmets and gilted leather jerkins, with chains sewn on at the shoulders.
"Now you are to do your best," Sir Ralph said, as he handed a sword to Edgar and took one himself.
So long as they played gently, Edgar had all the advantage.
"You have learned your tricks well," Sir Ralph said good-temperedly. "And in truth, your quick returns puzzle me greatly, and I admit that were we both unprotected, I should have no chance with you. But let us see what you could do were we fighting in earnest."
And he took down a couple of suits of complete body armor from the wall. Albert, who was looking on, fastened the buckles for both of them.
"Ah, you know how the straps go," Sir Ralph said in a tone of satisfaction. "Well, it is something to know that, even if you don't know what to do with it when you have got it on. Now, Master Edgar, have at you."
Edgar stood on the defense, but strong as his arm was from constant exercise, he had some difficulty to save his head from the sweeping blows that Sir Ralph rained upon it.
"By my faith, young fellow," Sir Ralph said, as, after 3 or 4 minutes, he drew back breathless from his exertions, "your muscles seem to be made of iron, and you are fit to hold your own in a serious melee. You were wrong not to strike, for I know that more than once there was an opening had you been quick."
Edgar was well aware of the fact, but he had not taken advantage of it, for he felt that at his age it was best to abstain from trying to gain a success that could not be pleasant for the good knight.
"Well, well, we will fight no more," the latter said.
When Albert had unbuckled his father's armor and hung it up, Edgar said, "Now, Albert, let us have a bout." The lad colored hotly, and the knight burst into a hearty laugh.
"You might as soon challenge my daughter Aileen. Well, put on the jerkin, Albert. It were well that you should feel what a poor creature a man is who has never had a sword in his hand."
Albert silently obeyed his father's orders and stood up facing Edgar. They were about the same height, although Albert looked slim and delicate by the side of his friend.
"By St. George," his father exclaimed, "you do not take up a bad posture, Albert. You have looked at Edgar often enough at his exercises to see how you ought to place yourself. I have never seen you look so manly since the day you were born. Now, strike in."
Sir Ralph's surprise at his son's attitude grew to amazement as the swords clashed together, and he saw that although Edgar was not putting out his full strength and skill, his son, instead of being scarce able, as he had expected, to raise the heavy sword, not only showed considerable skill, but even managed to parry some of the tricks of the weapon to which he himself had fallen a victim.
"Stop, stop," he said at last. "Am I dreaming, or has someone else taken the place of my son? Take off your helmet." "It is indeed Albert," he said, as they uncovered. "What magic is this?"
"It is a little surprise that we have prepared for you, Sir Ralph," Edgar said, "and I trust that you will not be displeased. 2 years ago, I persuaded Albert that there was no reason why even a priest should not have a firm hand and a steady eye, and that this would help him to overcome his nervousness and would make him strong in body as well as in arm. Since that time he has practiced with me almost daily after he had finished his studies at St. Alwyth, and my masters have done their best for him, though of course he has not my strength, as he lacks the practice I have had. He has gained wonderfully of late, and would in a few years match me in skill, for what he wants in strength he makes up in activity."
"Master Ormskirk," the knight said, "I am beholden to you more than I can express. His mother and I have observed during the last 2 years that he has gained greatly in health and has widened out in the shoulders. I understand now how it has come about. We have never questioned him about it. Indeed, I should as soon have thought of..."